This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Maybe the biggest addition of the offseason in terms of guys changing teams, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Right? Of those that change, because you would still say Chris Jones above him in terms of importance. Chris Jones re-signing, more important than Kirk Cousins signing, but most important.
No, I'm not going to say that. No.
Wow.
I mean, as much as I love Chris Jones as a player, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league, and the Kansas City Chiefs still have Patrick Mahomes. And I believe as long as Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are together, the Chiefs will find a way to overcome any types of losses. They would. So, I mean, I look at the Kirk Cousins signing as, you know, the biggest one, because you're talking about the odds for the Atlanta Falcons going up from 18-1 to 12-1 to win the NFC. Like, that is significant. They are a heavy favorite to win their division. I think they're the third heaviest favorite to win their division in the NFL behind the 49ers and the Chiefs. So that is a huge, huge get for Atlanta.
That is a bold statement, I think. And I understand that the value of the quarterback. But I'm just saying, Chris Jones is part of that core group, obviously, in Kansas City. That it's, you're saying...
We thought Tyreek Hill was a part of that core group, too.
You're right.
And all they've done is gone on to win two championships without him.
But we won't know what this looks like without him, right?
And that's good. Right. I'm not debating whether or not the Kansas City Chiefs did the right thing. They absolutely did.
Right.
Chris Jones deserved to be the highest paid defensive tackle in football. No question. All I'm saying is, Patrick Mahomes is so great. Andy Reid is so great. That had they had to figure out life without Chris Jones, they probably could have done it.
Okay, well, then I have to ask a follow-up on that.
What's up?
Is there any loss of anyone that those two would suffer that would not make you think that they are going to win the Super Bowl? If I just told you Kelce retired and Chris Jones signed somewhere else, are you just assuming they're going to win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I am, too. I'm just surprised you said that as a former... Because you're a former defensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm all about defensive linemen. I understand the value of it. Chris Jones saved the Kansas City Chiefs 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. So you saw his impact, and it goes well beyond just trying to quantify with the sack numbers that he's put up, even though the guy has 75.5 sacks in his career already.
You know what I love about this conversation?
What's up?
How much is probably driving Pat Costello nuts because of how anti-Kirk Cousins signing he is? And you just said it is the most important move that any team has made this offseason, including the back-to-back three-time champion Kansas City Chiefs re-signing Chris Jones.
Yes.
I love it. I love how frustrated Pat is about this. And I understand that a lot of people are, but Kirk Cousins...
I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is a better player than Chris Jones.
No,
that's not what I'm saying
that.
At all.
Right.
It's just a value proposition. He is a quarterback. He has a better chance of being able to impact the success of his team than Chris Jones does.
I agree with that because of the position he plays. It is the most valuable position in all of sports, and there's probably not a close second.
Yeah.
Because there is no other position in sports that is as valuable. Because, like, basketball, it's your best player. That could be Jokic or LeBron. They play different positions. Curry, etc. But that position in that sport is more important than any other position.
The crazy thing is, though, just to show you how good Chris Jones is at his job, Kirk Cousins got $100 million in guarantees. Chris Jones got $95 million.
That's true.
He's only $5 million away.
Matt Schaub is a longtime quarterback in the NFL. Played, of course, for the Falcons as well as the Texans.
Wahoo! Wah!
But for today's purposes, he is a UVA guy and your former teammate. Matt, go ahead. Tell everybody how much more valuable you were to Virginia than CeCe. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm not going to try and create that division. No way. But I'll tell you what. Me and Chris had some battles. You know, I got sick and tired in practice of him batting my balls down, you know, and disrupting practice. So he was a problem. But no, great teammate and longtime friend.
Well, I'm glad we're having you on the show, Schiaparello. And I know there wasn't any debate because I saw you on the cover of our media guide in a tuxedo and nobody else was on there. So you knew what time it was.
Wait, you got a solo picture?
Solo
in a media
picture on the front of the media guide. Oh, you knew what time it was. Heisman Trophy candidate, Matt Schaub. You knew what time it was. I couldn't wait until I got a chance to hit him in the pros, though. You couldn't hit him in practice. I couldn't wait to hit that guy when we played against each other in the NFL.
Wait, when you say battles, you just brought up an interesting thing. So you never actually touched him?
No.
You weren't allowed to?
No.
Because you were in the tuxedo on the cover of the media guide.
You can't touch the money. He's the quarterback.
Got it. Okay. All right, let's ask you a couple of questions around the NFL here. So the Falcons, you started and finished your career there. They make a huge, huge move in signing Kirk Cousins. Good move or bad move in your mind?
I think it's a great move. It's definitely a need based on the past few years and of how their offense has failed to overcome some obstacles that they've had, whether it be through turnovers or not winning in the fourth quarter. And that's something that Kirk's been very good at, especially over the last 4 or 5 years of winning in the fourth quarter in tight ball games. And he's a tremendous leader, a great teammate. He's comfortable in his leadership style and how he handles his teammates. And I think he's just what this locker room needs to get the offense over the hump and pair him with Bijan Robinson, you know, Drake London and those other weapons with that offensive line. And I think honestly, this offense could be very scary this upcoming season. And I look for the Falcons to win the division. I think this puts them in the prime spot to do that.
And Matt, that's where I was going. How good do the Atlanta Falcons have to be to justify the kind of commitment that they made to Kirk Cousins? Because we are talking about a player in his mid-30s coming off of an Achilles injury, and they guaranteed him $100 million, and they paid him a contract that's going to give him $45 million a year. So how good do the Falcons have to be over the life of that deal in order to justify the move?
Well, I think instantly you got to win the division, make the playoffs, and at least win one, you know, playoff game.
Okay.
If it's in the, you know, wild card round or whatever. But, you know, obviously you all want to win the Super Bowl. But I think realistically right now, the next step is to win the division, get back on top of the NFC South. And the division's prime for the taking. If you just look how it came down to the last week of the season this past year, and 8-9 won the division. I mean, that just tells you right there that, you know, you get a player like Kirk to pair with those other young weapons on offense and a defense that's ascending with a few more holes to fill. And honestly, you know, it's cliche, but sky's the limit.
We're talking with Matt Schaub, former NFL quarterback, CC teammate at UVA. He wore a tuxedo as the individual picture on the media guide at UVA. Let's talk about the other team that you're most associated with. That would be the Houston Texans and what they are right now with CJ Stroud as their starting quarterback. Your former teammate over here thinks he's a top five QB in the league right now, or hovering around top five right now. Do you agree with your fellow UVA grad?
I definitely think he's, if he's not in the top five, he's really close. He's at worst top seven or eight. Just look at his rookie season. There has not been many guys over the last 20, 30 years to come in and have that big of an impact on a football team, a franchise, and the league like CJ did last season. And you just look at how that team is built and what D'Amico Ryans has meant in just one season as the head coach. That's going to be a place that is so attractive to free agents, not only this year, but in years to come, that, you know, it's going to be a powerhouse in the AFC South and in the AFC as a whole. And so it's just remarkable what CJ did. Such a great young man and great representative for the league and for the Houston organization. So, you know, it's just amazing what he was able to do as a rookie.
Matt, I want to get back to your Atlanta Falcons. They have the eighth overall pick in this year's NFL draft. Presumably, they're out of the quarterback sweepstakes. Do you have, you know, an idea of where you think the Falcons should go with that eighth overall selection in late April?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you really look at it offensively, they have weapons across the board. Their offensive line is set. I really think you got to look at the defensive side. They made a lot of progress last year in their production over the past 5-6 years. But I still think you need to look at rushing the passer. You need another edge guy on the outside to get after the quarterback on third down. And then look at a corner. You have A.J. Terrell, who has been remarkable in his first 4 years. Get someone opposite him that can play man-to-man coverage and create fear in opposing offenses trying to throw the football. And with Jesse Bates on the back end, you know, that defense could really take another giant leap next year. But I think edge rusher or perhaps a corner at that spot, maybe even trade back, get a few more picks, because I think right now they sit with 6 or 7 picks. And I think you need to load up a little bit on defense and then maybe find one more wide receiver in one of the mid rounds that can go opposite Drake London and Darnell Mooney and make that combination really, really lethal.
Talking to my former teammate at UVA, UVA great, and Atlanta Falcons and Houston Texans quarterback Matt Schaub on Sportsmanlike. And Schaub, at the top of this year's draft are the three quarterbacks. That's who everybody is talking about. Drake May from UNC, Jaden Daniels from LSU, Heisman Trophy winner, and then Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner from USC. What would be your advice to those three quarterbacks as they transition from the college ranks to the NFL?
Just go to work. Show up. You know, don't do a lot of talking. Go in, show your teammates that you're there to work. Show them what's important to you and just get in the weight room, get in the film room, get to know your teammates, call all of them, reach out to them, say, hey, I'm excited to be your teammate. Let's go to work. And just it's a progression that you have to go through as a rookie. You can't just jump in and take the reins and you know, understand that you have guys that are in their late 20s, 30s, and you got to show them and demonstrate that you're willing to be one of them, and you're going to take them out, you're going to go to dinner, you're going to have them over your house, you're going to, you know, set up things where you can really bond as a team and that you're one of them, even though you're the quarterback, the franchise guy coming in, top whatever 10 pick, and you want to go in and just lead by example and show them what you're all about and not necessarily talk about it.
Matt, did you ever play with a teammate that you thought, you know what, he'd be a good vice president?
I'd have to really do a lot of thinking on that one. No, you know what? Chris Canty would be a great vice president.
Oh, no. It's Canty and Aaron Rodgers? Oh, wow, that's gosh. The big two now?
I think that would be a great ticket. I really do.
Matt, in all seriousness, we have seen the reports, New York Times, ESPN.com has a story that Aaron Rodgers is being eyed as a running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If Rodgers wants to do that, that's fine. It's his right. Would that be deemed a distraction for your football team if you learned that one of your teammates may be, especially the quarterback, running for office?
Yes, that would be 100% a distraction. You know, I think if you want to throw your name in that ring, that's great. I think that's everyone's prerogative. And, you know, if you want to serve your country in that capacity, it's great. When you're a franchise NFL quarterback and player in general, you have a lot of things on your plate, and I don't think your teammates, you could actually sell them that you're focused and you're day in, day out, ready to go to work and be prepared and still be able to run for vice president of the United States. I think that's a little bit absurd to think about.
So even the thought process behind it, which again, as you said, it's his right, that could come off as distracting mm-hmm. to a teammate. Like this one story.
Well, fortunately, it's right now. And fortunately, right now, it's mid-March. So there's no games here for 6-7 months. But I think once you would get to training camp, if it goes that long, and, you know, obviously by then you think that there's some solidification of who's going to run for what. But I think right now in the offseason, it'd just be locker room, just nonsense. And I don't think guys would pay attention to it. But once you get down to the real thing, come August and early September, yeah, that's a distraction. That's something that you don't want to have going on when you're trying to win football games.
Matt, thank you so much for the time. We do appreciate it. And now we're going to look for that media guy with you in a tuxedo on the cover. Thanks.
I'm so glad Chris didn't find that to be able to have that ready. I appreciate that.
We have to find that. Maybe after God. You leave us, when we come back, we're going to have the picture, hopefully,
we gotta find
of Schaub on the
Absolutely.
Cover in a tuxedo.
Appreciate you coming on, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Matt Schaub, your former teammate at UVA. Of course, longtime NFL
awesome
quarterback.
Guy. He's an awesome guy.
We got to find that picture.
He's awesome. Oh, I got it. Don't worry about it.
All right, we'll see
it.
If we can put it up on Absolutely. ESPNU coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We got the picture, by the way. It'll be up soon.
Yeah, we
found
it.
Of your former teammates in a tuxedo.
It's absolutely ridiculous, though, isn't it?
Well, it's not ideal looking back on it.
It's not ideal.
It's good that you remembered that. Yeah. But
you had a nice head of hair back then, though. Boy, take pride in that.
You know, for somebody that is very critical of others, for you always say, you're a bad person. You're a bad teammate. You're talking about your teammate going bald after he just joined us for 10 minutes?
No, we were talking about the picture. I just said he had a nice head of hair in the picture.
And now?
Well, I didn't say about anything
well,
now.
Well, you kind of alluded to.
I didn't say anything about now.
Time now for a round of respect. Check it. We'll get the picture up at Unsports ESPN and on ESPNU of Matt Schaub, the media guide photo back in the day with CC's Virginia team. And by the way, so people understand the media guide photos are usually like it's the coach or like a defensive line. It's a collaborative
players.
Effort.
Yeah, it's several players. Yeah.
Not in this case.
No.
It's it's just a one QB in a tuxedo.
Exactly.
All right. Respect it or check it. Nuno, Pat, Javonte have questions for us, and we decide if we respect it or check it.
All right. Respect it or check it. And we'll start with you, Canty. The Jets should move on from Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
Respect it. Now, I know they won't do it because if they move on from Rodgers, they're probably moving on from the head coach and the general manager. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers moves you any closer to winning a championship. I don't even think Aaron Rodgers gets you into the playoffs. So if that's the case, then why are we going through all of the different issues that come along with having Aaron Rodgers employed? Why are we having to deal with scandals and distractions and Aaron Rodgers talking about what people ain't doing in the building? Get rid of this guy. Find your next franchise quarterback because Aaron Rodgers ain't it.
I don't disagree with what you said, but I'm going to check it for this reason. I think you do it one more year. You're so deep into this that I think you almost are forced to do it for one more year. But if this continues with no playoffs or limited playoff success and all of the external stuff that goes on here, this is the last
year.
You
think they're making the playoffs?
No, but I think this is the last year. This is the last year for him. Next one.
All right. We're staying with Aaron Rodgers, and Evan, we'll start with you. Respect it or check it, the Falcons would rather have Aaron Rodgers instead of Kirk Cousins.
No, I'm going to check it because of everything Matt Schaub just told us. Like, Kirk Cousins is not a better quarterback necessarily than Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, we know that. But this year, could he be? It's possible. They're both coming off of horrible injuries. We know that. But I think the Atlanta Falcons, if the Atlanta Falcons are saying they don't want Belichick because they want this collaborative approach of equal parts all across the board, and you want Aaron Rodgers to come in, you can't tell me you don't want Belichick but do want Rodgers. So I checked that.
Yeah, you're not serious about winning if you want Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to check it too. Like, there's no way that they would prefer to have Rodgers over Kirk Cousins. They just wouldn't. I mean, think about this. When you bring in Aaron Rodgers, it's not just him. It's Rodgers and friends. So that means you got to bring in Nathaniel Hackett to be your offensive coordinator. How's that looked over the last 3 years? Then you got to go down the road of bringing in all his friends like Randall Cobb and David Bakhtiari and Alan Lazard and all Billy Turner. Like, no, enough with it. The juice is not worth the squeeze. For Aaron Rodgers going into his age 41 season, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. So, no, I don't think the Falcons would rather have Rodgers over Kirk Cousins. I don't know if there's any team that would prefer Aaron Rodgers over their current quarterback situation.
I think you undersold this picture. I'm looking at it now. We got to put it up. We'll put it up on the ESPNU side. It's out on Sports ESPN. Okay, we have it. This is Matt Schaub, not only in a tuxedo with a football and a stare down. Like, I mean, the clear cut, the photographer saying, give me your best pose. And this is what he had. This is like, the great, I love this
and
movie.
And it's got
the program.
Heisman Trophy candidate Matt Schaub.
It feels like the program. Yeah, like you put
Joe
it out.
Kane?
Joe Kane, you put it out there. And he brings this Sprite at the end of the movie, the six pack of Sprite, because he's given up on drinking. And this is like his Heisman candidacy picture.
Respect it or check it. Matt Schaub's media guy picture.
I respect how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And you already see that he's starting to develop that baldness.
Yeah, you see
what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? I mean, really? No.
I mean, I know.
No, you think you're like some supermodel all of a sudden because you lost weight?
No, the hair. I know I need to come home at some point, but like I'm fighting it.
No, I'm with you. Like, you can see Matt Schaub's hairline starting to look like the Batman symbol in that joint. Like, you can see it starting to
fall. Well, it was nice having him on once.
He was short, like,
he
the
ain't
bang.
Coming back.
Like, I don't know if they were bangs or whatever, but, like, they're supposed to be hanging over your forehead, and they're, like, kind of back here.
He's kind of got that Andrew Luck thing going.
Yes, he does.
That's not a compliment if it's not about football and brain. Andrew Luck is one of these guys that I think intentionally looks like a dork.
No, he looks better than Andrew Luck, though. In that picture, he looks better.
I'm not going to do him like that, Schaub.
Bald is definitely the look for Matt Schaub. Like, he looks way better.
So you think he's better bald with than with hair?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Also, Nuno, that was rude.
All right, what did he say?
We're off the rails right now.
I don't know what he said.
We're supposed to be doing respect and checking.
Respect and checking. Kenny, I'll start with you since you did that homework assignment and we're watching some 90s basketball. Oh. Respect and checking. Pat is right about how bad 90s basketball was.
You know what? I think Pat is right. I mean, listen, the defense was much tougher in the 90s, so offense is a struggle. But I'm just looking at some of the shot selection in the 90s. Yeah, not great. Not great.
The offense is awful.
No, Michael Jordan is still Michael Jordan now. He's still awesome. Like, he's still great to watch. It's poetry in motion. But the rest of it, not great.
Did you catch the highlight of Michael Jordan clanking one off the side of the backboard? Or?
Well, it didn't look any worse than Jed Bushler missing consecutive threes on the same possession from the corner, from the same exact spot. Like, the same exact spot. Jordan found him twice.
We're not going to slander Matt Schaub and Judd Bushler on the same show. No, we're not doing that. No, that will not happen.
Okay.
I checked that. 90s basketball was great. All basketball.
Go watch it.
I've watched it.
Watch it again.
Pat might be right.
Stop leaning.
I mean,
you still get to watch
Michael Jordan, which makes it worth it, but still.
It's not all bad, but there's plenty of bad.
There's a lot of bad.
Next one.
On offense, there's a lot of bad.
All right, Evan, I'll start with you on this one. Respect it or check it. Milk is a delicious beverage.
No, check it. By the way, I was shamed. So I used the fat-free Coffee Mate that I like a lot. It has the like a hazelnut or French vanilla flavor.
French vanilla.
Yeah.
I'm a French vanilla guy.
I got shamed the other day. I'm sitting there getting coffee, and Hembo from Greeny and Get Up, it's like,
all right, you should stop there because you said Hembo.
Well, but he's like, you put too much milk in there. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like,
why is he judging how you make your coffee?
That's how I like it. Your coffee is very personal.
Like, however you do your coffee, it's very personal. And you should never judge somebody based on how they want to start their day with their cup of coffee.
I don't know. You said it was what? Fat-free hazelnut creamer? I'm judging you a little bit.
Okay,
somebody told me that oat milk is the way to go when you're doing coffee.
I've had it. It's not for me.
I've had it with almond milk. I've never had oat milk.
Yeah, it's not for me. I understand why somebody would have it. It's definitely a cleaner kind of taste, I would say.
Okay.
And it doesn't taste as like processed probably as the stuff that I would have.
Okay.
But again, I don't need Hembo, who literally has said food is not for taste.
It's just fuel. Yeah.
It's just fuel to tell me, wow, it's too much milk in your coffee. And I don't even know that I actually like coffee as much as I like the taste of the creamer with the coffee combo package. But Hembo, stay out of it, will you please?
Isn't liking coffee prerequisite for doing this show 6 a.m. in the morning?
For some of us.
Like coffee?
I don't know. I mean, Smalls is off of it now for her 75 heart.
Yeah, I tried to be off of it.
How'd that work?
Not so great.
You're on it.
I'm on it now.
I'm on it openly.
I'm doing coffee.
Rob on coffee over there? No, Rob can't. Rob has Monster Energy drinks over there.
You have to have some form of caffeine. I think that's what we've established.
Yeah, literally the only one that doesn't, I think, is Javante. Because Pat is out here, energy drinks left and right.
I haven't seen
Javante drink a thing like since he's been on this
Javante
show.
Javante is like 12 pounds. I've never. He's like the skinniest guy around.
I don't even think he drinks water.
I wish I was built like Javante. You know what? Because he's a track star. I don't know if you know that. He's a big track. He's got to keep
a long speed
long
guy.
Than long than a sprinter. Sprint guy. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. He's got to keep that thin build there for Javante. Next one. Or are we done?
We're done. Canty has a read here. You know, all that good stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
I thought so too, but I guess not.
You have a read from Canty.
All right. For the ones who get it done, like Anthony Edwards last night, Minnesota Timberwolves, big win over the Clippers. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
College basketball in the home stretch. Tune in tonight. ACC tournament presented by Robinhood. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. They're a top 10 team in America. They're getting ready for the Big 12 tournament. They are Iowa State, and their head coach is TJ Otzelberger, and he joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike. Now, Coach, I got to start with this. I am a University of Wisconsin grad. You are from Wisconsin. You went to Whitewater. Why did you not go to UW-Madison? I need to hear the story behind it, because I'm now retroactively angry with you.
Yeah, probably because I wasn't good enough. They had no interest in recruiting me. I had a lot of good buddies that played there. Were certainly enjoyed watching them play, but I think they had a lot more success without me on their team.
Wow. At least you're honest about that. All right, tell us about now as you head into the Big 12 tournament. You're a top 10 team in America right now. What do people need to know about your squad heading into Big 12 tourney play, and obviously the NCAA tournament?
We certainly established, you know, our identity on the defensive end of the floor. We're a team that, you know, takes a lot of pride in pressuring the basketball, speeding our opponents up, and then trying to score off those turnovers. Our guys are a very connected group. You could tell, you know, you watch the bench, you watch their interactions with one another. They've got each other's back. And I think so many times this point in the season, you know, playing for each other, playing together, having fun, enjoying the experience is every bit as important as the scheme and the basketball part of it. And we're really fortunate to have a group that embraces that.
Coach, our ESPN bracketologist, Joe Lenardi, currently has 9 Big 12 teams in the NCAA tournament. I just want to get your perspective on what makes your league so tough.
Well, over time, what you've seen is obviously you have to have great players, great programs, great coaches. Got a lot of Hall of Fame coaches in our league. Tremendous talent across the board. I think what the Big 12 has stood for is defensively, everybody's really good. So you get in the league play, and it's really difficult to run a fluid offense because teams are so competitive, the defenses are so gifted, and the schemes are so good. So I know there's a lot of good leagues out there. I've been in this league as an assistant for a number of years and just really excited to continue to be able to compete in the best league in the country. And I think most of all, that's a credit to the great players in the time investment they make.
You know, it's easy for those around your program to have your back, support you, hype you up. But when your rivals do that, it probably means something even more. What did it mean to you when Kelvin Sampson of Houston said you should have been the coach of the year and not him?
Yeah, I mean, that's very kind and generous of them. Obviously, they had a phenomenal year to go through our league with only 3 losses. You know, it's humbling that somebody of his caliber of a coach would make that statement. Yet at the same time, he earned it. He deserved it. They were the outright champ. I don't think you can ever argue or debate. The job in this is to try to win the league. And, you know, Houston did that. So all the credit in the world to Coach Sampson, and, you know, happy for him that he received that award.
Coach, yesterday, former Alabama Crimson Tide football coach Nick Saban went before Congress and talked about the difficulties in developing young men in the current model that the NCAA has with NIL and the transfer portal. Curious to get your perspective on how that shifting landscape has changed the responsibilities and the difficulty with your job as being a head coach in a revenue producing sport.
It's certainly you know, something we need to be adaptive to and mindful of. Specifically within our program, we've been very fortunate. I mean, we want guys that are very low ego, that really believe in the development on and off the court, that are still student athletes where their degree is important. And we take everything, not just the games, not just the practices, but who the young men in our program are becoming as men on the court, off the court, what they're doing in the classroom. All those things matter in our program. So to this point, we've certainly had to be adaptive and mindful of some of the changes with NIL and transfer portal and those things. But what we've really tried to do is double down on our belief that if your program is really rooted in player development and developing young men, that over time, you know, what you'll see is those young men go on to be successful in life, whether it's as athletes, husbands, fathers, community members. You know, we're trying to build men for their future. So we're going to continue, regardless of what changes are made, keeping our focus on that. And we'll continue to be mindful when we need to adapt.
You know, Iowa State basketball has had a hell of a run recently. I mean, if you think about some of the guys in the NBA right now, from George Niang, Monty Morris, Talon Horton-Tucker, and then the biggest of them all, Tyrese Halliburton, mm-hmm. does that help you in terms of getting kids, keeping kids, selling them on the fact that Iowa State can put you in the top 10 and then in the NBA?
Absolutely. And those guys, I mean, all of them, I mean, tremendous hard workers. I mean, look, Iowa State basketball is about having a chip on your shoulder. And all those guys you just mentioned, they weren't five-star guys. They weren't the highest ranked guys in their class. They were guys that were willing to come in every day and do the hard work and the sacrifice. And it paid off for them over time. And those are the guys that have really done well here. The guys that know it's about the work. It's a very focused environment. It's about player development. And certainly, you know, when they're having the successes that they are on the biggest stage, absolutely, young people see those guys performing at the highest level, and it validates the work that we do every day. So really proud of all those guys that you mentioned, because they all I appreciate their personal relationship, what they've done for me, for us in our program, and excited to see their continued successes.
Coach, being in the state of Iowa, your wife being collegiate in Iowa, I'm curious to get your perspective on what Caitlin Clark has done, not only this season, but in her career with the Iowa program, and her impact on the sport of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing to see the consistency and the successes she's had over time. You know, like you said, as you know, with my wife being you know, the player that she was at Iowa State, you know, and her love for women's basketball, we watch a lot of women's basketball at our house as well. Certainly more Cyclone basketball than any, but so much respect for Caitlin Clark, so much respect for how she continues to break barriers, expand boundaries. And as someone who has two daughters, you know, you really, that means a lot. You want your daughters to grow up seeing role models and people that continue to strive for greatness and have those successes. And so I think Caitlin's certainly shown everybody that, you know, with the hard work and determination, you can accomplish amazing things. It's a great story.
TJ Otzelberger, the head coach at Iowa State, the Big 12 tournament semifinals and finals will be here on ESPN Radio. We hope, since you joined us and now we're biased in your favor, that you are a part of that, and we hear you on ESPN Radio.
Absolutely.
Coming up in the semifinals and finals. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Coach, and best of luck the rest of the way.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate your time.
All right. Great stuff there. And Iowa State is a sneaky good basketball program that's been good forever. They bothered me back in the day as a Wisconsin fan because they went up against Florida. Or they went up against Michigan State, excuse me, in an Elite Eight where Wisconsin was going to play Michigan State in the Final Four. Wisconsin had lost to Michigan State three times already that year. They had Marcus Fizer, remember him, power forward, Jamal Tinsley, New York City point guard, and they didn't beat Michigan State, and then Michigan State beat Wisconsin in the Final Four again.
Iowa State's having a pretty good run. I mean, think about it. Their quarterback is in the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And then you got Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, it's pretty good.
Both Iowa schools.
It's pretty good.
Iowa and Iowa State. Boy, Caitlin Clark versus Brock Purdy, Tyrese Halliburton. That's a good crew.
I'm just saying.
That's a pretty good run
for Iowa State Athletics.
Not bad. Very good. All right, coming up, we have Canty's best bet, which we're thinking about maybe doing some 90s basketball best bets, since he's very focused on the 90s basketball. So maybe we just ask Canty who won random 90s basketball games up. Plus, the unsportsmanlike moments of the day. We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, better than I didn't come through last night. I mean, I had the Oklahoma City Thunder laying 4.5 and the team total under 236.5. Both of those went bust, but that's not going to deter me from going back to the association. I'm going back to the well. We've had a pretty nice run here, even though we lost last night. We've had a pretty nice stretch the last couple of weeks. We've won more than we lost, so hopefully we can get back on the horse tonight with Bulls visiting the Indiana Pacers. Now, we're going to go with a two-leg teaser. We're going to take the Chicago Bulls plus 7.5 points, and we're going to go with the over on 222.5. Now, again, it's a teaser, so you got to tease up the line for the Chicago Bulls, and you got to tease down the total points. Again, Chicago Bulls plus 7.5, and then the over on total points, 222.5, that pays out at plus 192.
Well, and it also really leans into your 90s basketball that you've been watching today, because the Bulls and the Pacers had great battles in the 90s.
Yeah.
We're going to do the retroactive bet of the night right now.
Are we seriously doing that?
Yeah. Nuno has a game for what day, what year, and what are we doing here? We're going to have to pick who won the game and who is leading
scorer.
Yeah,
so I went back March 13th, 1994. The Golden State Warriors visited the LA Clippers. Who won and what do you think the score was?
Okay, so let's see. How about the Golden State Warriors that year?
This is 93?
94.
They probably would have had Run TMC.
Yeah.
Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin?
Nope.
Billy Owens?
So Mullins was on the team. Billy Owens was also on the team.
Chris Gatlin
was on that team.
Alexander?
Yep. He played 2 minutes, Oof. Victor. He had a Pretty rebound.
Good. Who would have been the point guard of that team?
Everyone loves him. You'll hear a lot during college basketball, the NCAA tournament. He does games for CBS and Turner.
Greg Anthony?
No, Avery Johnson.
Oh, Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson, Latrell, Chris Webber.
Oh, that's a good team.
Well, yeah. The Clippers,
would they have had Danny Manning on that team?
Oh, no. The Clippers was a who's who of, like, actually people that were really good.
Dominique Wilkins?
Yeah, Dominique.
Nice.
Ron Harper.
Okay.
Mark Jackson.
Well, you're not letting us guess. You're just mentioning
everyone.
Well,
okay. I'm just excited.
I don't need to continue to guess. That is wild. So we're asking who won? And what was the score?
What do you think won and what was the score?
I'm going to go Warriors 96-93.
Ooh. I'm actually going to go Clippers, and I'm going to go 83-87.
No, so the Clippers did win, but they won 120-117.
Wow.
Actually,
Was that an overtime game?
No. That day, the lowest scoring game that night was the Lakers beat the Timberwolves 90-88. But, you know, the Heat beat the Celtics 106-87. Suns beat the Magic and they got it to 100.
We didn't need the full score.
I'm just saying.
I can't believe all the scoring happening in 94 NBA. It's just ridiculous.
I knew he was going to say it.
Who wants all this scoring?
I knew he was going to say it.
Oh, man.
That Warriors team, that's not a bad team.
Neither was the Clippers team.
Yeah. Well, no, the Clippers weren't. Those guys were not good at that time. That's the problem.
They were past their prime.
Yeah, they were 22-38 after beating the Warriors.
Because that was after Dominic Wilkins and Danny Manning were traded for each other.
Now,
Atlanta
correct me
and the Clippers.
If I'm wrong, but didn't Ron Harper go to the Bulls after that? Didn't he stop by the Bulls after that?
Was that after Ron Harper would have been Cavs, Clippers, and then the
yes,
Bulls?
Yes, yeah, correct.
And exactly. Then he would have been in the Danny Ferry trade, if I'm not mistaken, to the Cavs and the Clippers? Because Danny Ferry was drafted by the Clippers, didn't want to go there, and traded to the Cavs, I believe, for Ron Harper. I may be wrong. I'm probably right, but I may be
wrong. Yeah, I was about to say, I have no idea whether you're wrong. All right. I'm just going to go along and nod with everything that you're saying. Because that is incredible detail that you just went into.
He was trying.
I don't know whether you were right or wrong, but the way that you said it just gave me all the confidence in the world that you knew what the hell you were talking about.
If I'm not mistaken, Danny Ferry was drafted number 2 overall by the Clippers, refused to play there, went to Italy, and then got traded to the Cavs.
So it was Harper along with 2 first and a second for Reggie Williams and Danny Ferry.
Reggie Williams out of Georgetown, that Reggie Williams?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good Okay,
well,
I have
problems.
He knew
what the hell he was doing by not wanting to go to play for the Clippers.
That was Eli Manning before Eli Manning,
I'm
I guess.
I'm not going there.
Javonte, hit it.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, so there have been a ton of free agent acquisitions that we have discussed. One that we have not discussed yet is Mike Gesicki signing to the Cincinnati Bengals. Tight end. Why am I bringing this up? Well, Mike Gesicki was with the Dolphins, with the Patriots last year, but Dolphins previously, attempted to do the gritty and was horrific at the gritty. Well, guess what? He's now with Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Who knows how to do the gritty better than anyone. And they were on Twitter back and forth with each other yesterday. And Ja'Marr Chase is now saying that he is going to basically teach him how to do the gritty and that he'll be right before the season ends. So now, not only do they have a new tight end, but now they have Dancing with the Stars in Cincinnati.
Teach him how to gritty. Well, he's got to get in the end zone before he can gritty. So let's hope that he can stay healthy enough to be able to do that early and often for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Do you now want to see Mike Gesicki gritty?
Yes,
I want to see what Ja'Marr Chase
can do. It's
going
to be entertaining either way. Either he's going to know how to do it, and he's going to be a lot better than the last time we see him do it, or it's going to be an epic fail. Either way, I'm here for it. Like, it's going to be entertainment for me. That's what I'm in it for. I'm in it for the entertainment value.
Speaking of entertainment value,
okay,
what has been the most entertaining topic sports-ish related today, would you say, on
Aaron
our show?
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
And who would you say on our air is the biggest Jets fan?
That would be
Mike Greenberg, would you say? Because I think
though,
so.
Because he's laughing at the Jets right now. Well, like, he's a Jets fan. He's not even at the point where he's in a stage of grief. He's just laughing at it now.
Well,
he's saying how great this is for us and our business. He's just, it's a fait accompli for Greeny that this is going to be an abject failure, this whole Aaron Rodgers experiment.
Well, we have some
I don't even know if you
tweets.
Can qualify him as a Jets fan right now.
You're going to question whether or not Greeny's a Jets fan?
Yeah, I'm questioning if he's a Jets fan, because if you're a Jets fan, you have to be an optimist when it comes to this Aaron Rodgers thing. And right now, Greeny sounds anything but.
No, I feel like this is one of those laugh so you don't cry things, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's moved on from actually any hope that they were going to win to just kind of like, hey, it's great for content, and I don't want to cry.
Well, I mean, they had a party.
Let's take a look at some of his tweets.
Wow.
Greeny, that is, at ESPN right. Greeny. So the first one. So if I am to understand this correctly, the Jets, let me just make sure I have this properly here because it's blocked on my screen. I'm sorry. The Jets have devoted their entire franchise to the cause of making it work around Aaron Rodgers, and he just might be running for vice president. This is going to be the greatest 30 for 30 of all time. The only thing I disagree with is the second part. I do not think this would be the greatest 30 for 30 of all time. They're a great 30 for 30.
This is going to be a good one, though. Like, when people get fired and we get to hear the real stories behind the scenes, uninhibited, unfiltered, like, that's going to be awesome. Like, think about it. You had a head coach that called a meeting of his assistant coaches and demanded to see their cell phones because Aaron Rodgers felt like somebody in the organization was leaking stuff about Zach Wilson, the backup quarterback.
Well, now he'll have a government-issued phone, potentially.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
Now, wow. The second tweet.
What is he going to do, get the NSA to check all of the coaches' cell phones?
Probably.
To
now
see
he'll
who
know,
leaked the information?
Now
to
he'll know everything. He'll know
New
who
York
did what.
Tabloids?
Yeah.
Wow.
Second tweet from Greeny, okay? By the way, a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles tear, campaigning for the vice presidency 6 days a week, would still be the best quarterback the Jets have had in decades. Do you agree with that?
No.
If I told you that Aaron Rodgers, I like playing out this hypothetical. If I told you that Aaron Rodgers, between Monday and Saturday, was going to be on the campaign trail and showed up on Sundays, what would the Jets' record be?
Oh, it'd be awful. They'd be terrible.
He'd only be there on Sundays.
It'd be terrible. They would not be good. They'd be awful. Matter of fact, I don't think he would make it through the whole season if that's what he did. Like, I don't think he would. Like, he's going into his age 41 season. He's not the same quarterback that he was when he won back-to-back MVPs a few years ago.
This whole thing feels surreal. Like, it's made for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day, but a lot of times during the unsportsmanlike moments of the day behind the scenes are stories that are so wild and wacky that you're just like, you can't even do anything more than this.
Could not have scripted this. Like, I knew that this would end in spectacular fashion.
Not like this.
Either really good or really bad. I had no idea it could get to these lengths where there is a presidential candidate that's on the ballot in more states than not that is actually considering this guy as his running mate.
You know, we haven't talked about that part of it because we're not a political show. At some point,
he's
those
making that, us become a political show.
But I'm saying that the people that are knowledgeable about politics and expert in that professionally, I wonder what they're saying about the decision making here.
I wonder what Fox and Friends is talking about.
All right, like, so, I wonder what that's going to be. But here's the funny thing, football wise, we still will hold. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers will still bash them if they don't make the playoffs, but we'll give Kirk Cousins a pass if they just make the playoffs and not win a game. And Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. But yeah, we expect him to do more than what Kirk Cousins needs to do.
How did you just make that about Kirk Cousins?
I don't understand how we got to that point.
Well, because, you know, I like my
job.
We were not going to get political.
We were saying that
he's right, though.
Well, I mean, the Jets have better players, especially on the defense.
Oh, what about the weapons? Oh, yeah, here we go. Matt Schaub came out here and said they need to win a game in the playoffs. And you're like, if he gets there,
here we go. Move the goalpost for Cousins. Here we go.
I don't know. They were nervous we were going to go down the political path.
To try to get a rise out of me, and I'm not going to let them. I know what they want to do. I'm not going to let them. I'm not going to be the story. I'm not going to be your entertainment. We got enough of that with Aaron Rodgers. Let's just laugh at him, okay? Let's not make this about me or about Evan. It's ridiculous. It's patently absurd. The Jets starting quarterback wants to be a vice presidential candidate.
Great. Grainy next. We're on to Thursday.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.